read a passage from the second chapter of 1 Peter. I'll begin reading with the first verse. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Whereunto they are unto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's 10 verses. First 10 verses of the second chapter of 1 Peter. I want to begin at the bottom. Maybe work through some other thoughts back up in the lesson that I read. And he's giving a description here of the people of God and what they are. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And in this capacity, they are to show forth the praises of him who hath called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. Then he says, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We see by this that the people of God are the people of God through the mercy of God. God arranged in his mercy a way and a means and a process of bringing out a people for himself. But now he said, in times past, ye were not a people. Now, that kind of stumped me for a little while. I couldn't really get a hold of what he's talking about there. In times past, you were not a people. I just thought all people were people. But he said, in times past, ye were not a people. But under God, I feel, I got to running my thoughts along the line of people one day. And a beautiful something opened up to me in this text. Now, what constitutes a people? You hear expressions like this, the American people and the German people and the Russian people, my wife's people and my people. Well, now, what does that mean? It means a group of individuals that are tied together and bound together by something. When I say my people, I speak of my immediate relatives and those that are close to me by the ties of nature. My family. My people. That would include my father and mother and my brothers and sisters and everybody connected with them. That's my people. I speak of my wise people. They are not a part of my people, but they're a separate people. The American people, on a bigger scale, they're a group of people that are bound together by certain things. So with Russian people and German people or whatever. But they're all different. Now my people are bound together by certain family ties, blood relationships, certain traditions, and certain interests. And certain affections. Those things that bind us together as a family, as a people. That's true of my wise people. They're bound together by the same means. Every time the term people is used, it refers to a group of individuals, a number of them, that have something in common among them, that unites them, binds them together. The American people, they have certain ideals and certain principles and certain traditions and certain common interests that bind us together as a people. That's so with all the other nations on the face of the earth. They have their sphere of tradition and of common interests, and theirs are different from ours. But whatever it is that binds people together, something in common among them that makes them a people. Now he says, In times past, ye were not a people. The people of God did not exist as they exist now. All of us, perhaps, were parts of other people. But we were not a people. I was at Monarch Springs one time, and we were singing one of those old Reformation songs. Brother Carver was leading the singing. And he just stopped. And he said, "Now I'm going to take a little census here." We're singing about the people of God. And he says, "Here we are." But says, "How many of you were formerly Baptists?" Several hands went up. They had been a part of the Baptist people. "How many were formerly Methodists?" Several hands went up there. They had been a part of the Methodist people. Speaking religiously, we have Baptist people, Methodist people, Presbyterian people, and what have you. And they are people that are bound together by certain religious doctrines and traditions and things that they stand for in common that binds them together and makes them a people. Well, Brother Carver went on around the list, named several, and there were hands up on everything and even a few hands up on the Catholics. How many were formerly Catholic? And there was a few hands went up on that. Well, they were parts of other people, but they weren't a people. They had nothing in common, but now they were a people. Brought out of the different places where they had been and brought into the common faith of the gospel of Christ and made a people of God. In times past, ye were not a people, but are now the people of God. The people of God are bound together by things in common. We have several things in common. We are bound together to a person, a common person. Jesus is the hub and center of the whole operation of the body of Christ. He's the soul of the body. We who are saved by His grace make up the body, and He's the soul in it. He's the spirit. He says that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We are all bound together in the Spirit. The unity that the Holy Scriptures speak of is a unity of Spirit, in the Spirit. The oneness that it speaks of is a oneness in Christ. He says that they may be one in us. We have a common allegiance to a common person. And that person is Christ. And we all revolve around Him, and He's the center of everything in the body of Christ. We have a common faith. The gospel of Jesus Christ, God's Word. And we are admonished through the teachings of the ministry in God's Word to come to a unity of faith. We have common ideals, common standards, we believe in certain things. And those things that we believe in and consecrate and dedicate our lives to are the common things which bind us together. We are bound together by blood ties. The blood of Jesus flowing in all of our souls. My people are bound together, and me with them, by blood ties. Your people the same. God's people is the same too. We are bound together by blood relation. Blood ties. It's the blood of Jesus that has something in common with all of us. We are where we are by the blood of Jesus and our faith in it. A certain common faith. One of the apostles, maybe it was Peter, I'm not sure, I believe it was Peter, he spoke about the common faith. That's what we hold to. That's what we believe in. And we believe in certain ideals and certain standards, and we rally to those things. And that makes us a people. There's something in common with all people. American people, my people, your people, Baptist people, Methodist people, whoever they might be, there's something in common with all of them that they rally to and around. Now ye in times past were not a people. We were a part of God's broken creation, as Brother Gene Harmon put it. I've heard him express that numbers of times, that God would have mercy on his broken creation. And this creation of God, God never intended it so, but through men taking their own ways, they have been broken up, separated, brought into clash and confusion, trouble among them on every hand, a broken creation. We were parts of a broken creation, but having obtained mercy, we have been brought together, led out of the darkness we were in, delivered out of the sin we were in, and delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, in which we all make a people of God. In times past ye were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. It's all through the mercy of God that any such thing ever happened to you and me. It is not of us. It's just all the mercy of God and God's doings that this thing ever happened to you and me. Brought us together in a common affection in which we love one another with a pure heart fervently and are willing to bear one another's burdens and to go this way of life together. Now, he said, ye are a peculiar people. Now, I don't know what you think of about peculiar. But peculiar in this text doesn't mean odd, strange, queer folks. That isn't what he's talking about. Now there is such a difference in this day and time between the people of the world in every phase and area of life and the people of God, that I would have to say that no doubt we appear queer and odd, strange, to the people of this world. But that isn't what the Scripture means. That isn't what he's talking about when he says, ye are a peculiar people. You're the people of God. You were not a people, but now are the people of God. And that people of God is a peculiar people. And in a scriptural sense, applying to the people of God, it has reference to the separateness and the distinctiveness of the church of God, the people of God. Now, folks, that's what I believe in. That's what I preach and teach, that the church of God is a separate, distinct, chosen out group of people from every other group of people on the face of the earth. And that it stands alone by itself in its own category. In the 19th chapter of Exodus, verses 5 and 6, he says, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. Now, what kind of sense does that carry to you? Ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. It carries to me the thought I've just expressed, that there is a separate, chosen out, called out group of people separated unto God and separated from all the other peoples on the face of the earth. That's the people of God. They're a peculiar people in the respect of their being a special, distinct, separated people unto God. Then it continues in verse 6, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation unto me. Now, we are not to the world what we are to God. The Bible says that he has made us kings and priests unto our God. In the kingdom of God, we're kings. And also priests. And both of them are important people. And they fill an important place. And brother, I want to tell you, the people of God are important people. They're important to him. He has made us this unto our God. Paul told what we were to the world. He said, we're just the offscourings of the earth, the gazing stock. That's the way the world looks at us, and that's the way they rate us. But unto God, we're kings and priests. Through the redemptive work of Christ, lifting us up out of sin and exalting us to a life of holiness and of truth. Now, in this sense, then, it's clear that peculiar is referring to separate and distinctive. Now, in the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy, I'll begin reading here with the 2nd verse, and it says, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them, Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now in this text, holy and special are used interchangeably. A holy people unto the Lord thy God, because the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. Now notice how he uses this, a special people unto himself. He's speaking of our relationship with him. And we are bound to him and made one in him and constitute a special, reserved, peculiar treasure and people unto God through the redemptive work of Christ in the earth. Now, if you followed me as I read these verses, you see that God forbid all affiliation with these heathen countries that are heathen peoples that the children of Israel were going to encounter when they entered the land of Canaan. And they were to enter into no agreements with them. They were not to show any mercy to them. They were to utterly destroy them. Marriage, intermarriage between the children of Israel and the sons and daughters of these heathen people was strictly forbidden. He said, they'll turn away your hearts from following me. If you enter into that kind of marriages, that was all strictly forbidden. The children of Israel were a separate, distinct, special treasure unto the Lord above all the people that were upon the face of the earth. In the 14th chapter of Deuteronomy in verse 2, he says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. I'm referring to these texts to let us see how the term peculiar applies and what connection it has with us. You're a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people. Over in the 7th chapter, he said a special people. Here he says peculiar. They mean the same thing. Peculiar, special, distinct, separated people unto God. Paul spoke of his being separated unto the gospel of Christ. Separated. In the 26th chapter of Deuteronomy, maybe we'll notice another reference here. Verses 16 through 19. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in His ways, and to keep His statutes and His commandments and His judgments, and to hearken unto His voice. And the Lord has avouched thee this day to be His peculiar people, as He hath promised thee, that thou shouldest keep all His commandments. Now the Lord avouched Israel to be His peculiar people, a special treasure, called them in Exodus the 19th chapter a peculiar treasure. Israel after the flesh is a type of Israel after the Spirit. And just as God did not permit Israel to have any affiliation of any kind whatever with the heathen nations around them, He does not permit you and me as saints of God in light to have any affiliation at all with those institutions that have grown up around the Church of God, calling themselves churches in the world today. We are to be a separate and distinct people. Just as Israel after the flesh was a type of Israel after the Spirit, so the heathen nations around them were a type of those institutions that has grown up around the Church of God, calling themselves churches. And the same lines are drawn, and God's people are still avouched unto Him to be a peculiar or separate people unto Him above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. In 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, in verse 53, he says, "For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God." Separated them from among all the nations, or all the people of the earth, to be thine inheritance. Now that's what he called his peculiar treasure, his special people, a holy people unto the Lord thy God. These expressions all mean one and the same thing. A people separated unto God, a distinct people. Now I was taking note of the description of the terms used in the Scriptures of God's separation. He separated His people from all the other people. Paul said he was separated unto God and separated unto the gospel of Christ. Ordinarily, we think of separation only in its negative sense, separating from something. That could leave us orphans, to break our connection with whatever we had connection with and just leave us hanging would constitute us spiritual orphans in the world. But God didn't do it that way. He separated us from this unto this. There's a positive side of separation, the same as a negative side. And when He called us from this, He called us unto this, and attached us unto Himself, and made of all of the peoples that have been scattered wherever they were, in the times that they were, that have heard His voice and have seen the light and discerned God's will and has come from those places where they were scattered and accepted the truth and taken their stand for its standards and what it teaches, and associated themselves with the saints, the people of God. That's their home. Now we have a song in our book, The Home of the Soul. And it describes the church of God. That's the home of the soul for the saints. We were separated from these other places and brought into this. Separated unto God. Thou hast separated them unto thyself. We don't think much about using the term separation in connection with the term unto, separated unto. We just think of separating from something. But when he separated us from something, he separated us unto something better than what he separated us from. In Titus, the second chapter, in verse 14, he says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. A separate, distinct, peculiar, special people unto himself, zealous of good works. Now this people that were not a people, but are now the people of God, that's the kind of people they are. And that's on the basis of them being a peculiar, or called out, or separated people unto God. That he might redeem us from all his iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. He says, come out from among them. 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians, verse 16, says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So now, I thank God for the people of God, and that I'm one of them. And that we are peculiar unto God, separated unto God, a distinct group of people from all the other peoples that are upon the face of the earth. Now, I'm not saying by this that there are no saved people out there in wherever it might be. I hope there are. I believe there are some. But while acknowledging that, I am saying that it is my duty as a gospel minister to proclaim to you and me and those people what the plan of God is for his people. And the plan of God is that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Now that's God's plan, that's God's purpose, and that's what I'm duty bound and required as a minister of God to preach to the people and to teach them, while I may acknowledge people to be saved out there. And I believe there are some. But I recognize them as children of God away from home, and that God wants them to come home. And that the church of God, the body of Christ, the separate, distinct, holy, peculiar treasure of God in this world, is the home of the soul. Amen.